Hello and welcome to Tales of the Prodigal's Elder Brother. I'm Mike Moore. Episode 4, Prodigals. Last time, we looked at the lives of two pairs of brothers in the Old Testament. Moving to the New Testament, to a story told by Jesus of Nazareth, we hear of a likely theoretical man who has two sons. Again, two sons. The older is a good son. He is dutiful, works all the time, does everything his father says, and is not wasteful. The younger one, instead of helping his father out, working hard, helping make the family business a success, asks to be bought out of all of it, takes all of the resulting money out of the business, and leaves with it. He goes to a different country and wastes all of this money on partying and, according to his older brother, hoes. Eventually, when he's wasted all the money and is in need of food, he gets up the courage to come back and admit what he did. And his father gives him hugs and kisses, new gear and bling, kills the calf they've been fattening up for a special occasion, and has a huge party to celebrate. The party is so loud that the older brother hears it and asks what is going on of a servant. Apparently, he hasn't even been told about the party. He's been working, like the good son that he is. The servants know more about the situation than he does. Like Cain, he has two choices. He can be happy for his brother, glad that their father has been merciful and forgiving, and go in and eat and drink and enjoy the party. Or he can get angry with his younger brother due to jealousy. Like Cain, he gets angry. He says to his father, "These many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Their father sticks to his guns and insists that now is the time to celebrate, rather than to be angry and jealous. He even says, "Son, you are always with me," contrasting this with the brother who ran off and wasted the family money, but who he is more than happy to welcome home again. Imagine how that makes the older brother feel. Staying around and being a good son does not get rewarded with a delighted father throwing a party. That's how it is. Cain, at least, had done something wrong. Esau, at least, had agreed to something stupid. The prodigal son's elder brother had not done anything of that kind. All he'd done is show up to work and complain about his deadbeat whoring brother getting rewarded for his wicked ways with a party. Let us compare these two brothers. The older one does everything he's told, never breaks rules, works hard, isn't wasteful, is supportive of his father, yet is less forgiving than his father, who is the actual wronged party in this case, and is generally jealous and mean and clearly unable to enjoy himself when it is time to celebrate. The younger one, full of youthful vigor, has a zest for life, makes his mistakes, and goes out and lives passionately and wildly, but not wisely. He starts with the energy, the passion, and the fun, but learns wisdom later, and the hard way. Like Cain, he gets to experience the forgiveness of his father, something the older brother has had little opportunity to experience firsthand, to the extent of not knowing how to be forgiving himself. If I had to bet, I'd bet that the younger, wilder son is the one you'd want to ask to forgive you, should you have had the choice of offending one or the other of these two brothers. The older one sounds like the meaner, stricter, less fun one. Which would you rather invite to a party you were having? Which one would you expect to be a more entertaining guest speaker? The one wise enough, dutiful, and careful enough to have not made a mess of his life? Or the screw-up? I don't know about you, but these stories seem to have morals or lessons in them that I don't think you'd likely hear taught at Sunday school. Lessons like this one. Doing the right thing and following all of the rules all of the time won't make you a nice person, teach you to forgive people, or make your life any longer, nicer, easier, or more filled with God's approval. It won't even make God like you better than people who do the wrong thing now and again, but who are sorry once they fully enjoyed themselves. The thing is, we don't get to pick which brother's position we are born into. I didn't choose to be born into a family where I would grow up knowing what the words in the Bible said, where there was no alcoholism and drugs, no sexual immorality or dubious role models as to living like a decent human being. My parents are a couple of the most decent human beings you could care to meet. I was the firstborn, and I always tried to stay out of trouble by doing exactly what I was supposed to. I was taught that this was a good idea. It was how my parents had lived their lives, and it was just how I was. If I didn't obey, I was struck repeatedly on the hand with a wooden paddle with Bible verses written all over it. No doubt, this was supposed to make me remember and love verses from the Bible. Next time, I'll get into how well that worked out.